Hey, I want to start tonight by reading a part of what we read last week. So if you weren't here with us, you'll get a chance to hear that again. If you were here with us, you get a chance to hear that again. It's John 3, if you want to go there. And I just want to read the words of Jesus starting in verse 5 to verse 8. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." That's a good passage. It was a good passage last week, still a good passage this week. It was encouraging this week to hear some of the ways that God was speaking to people. It was encouraging to share some of that on Tuesday night at home group and to just go a little bit deeper in that as well. And I've been thinking about this passage more even since, you know, I talked with you guys at length about it last week, and I want to kind of continue tonight with some of the things that we started last week, and I think the biggest is really just what I mentioned about encounter and encountering God's presence, and I hope that for some of you this week was different because you were more aware, and perhaps you had an alertness to the presence of God with you. And whether that's true or not, it's my prayer that, that as we continue to journey forward, again, that we wouldn't just have more information, but that we would have deeper experience of God in our lives. And so, more than what I'm going to say tonight, I just want you to know that's what I've been praying for this week, for myself and for you all, that we would continue to encounter the presence of God in the ways that we really need to. And I don't know how your week was, but for me, this week was just one more reminder of just how much that's true. God, I need you. And I need you for just the simplest, the most basic, the most normal of things. I was thinking about this passage a little bit more, and, you know, I said something last week about how Jesus here is talking about being born of the Spirit, and in being born of the Spirit, being born in the same kind as the Spirit of God, and thus being able to understand the very Spirit and presence of God in our lives and in our midst and in the world around us. And I think that is definitely one of the things that Jesus is saying here. And he says specifically, that without the Spirit of God, we can't see the kingdom. Can't see the kingdom. Jesus elsewhere says that actually, it's the presence of God that reveals Which would make sense that without the presence of God, we couldn't see the activity of God, because it's the presence of God, it's the Spirit of God that reveals what God is doing, reveals who God is. The Spirit reveals, the Spirit illuminates, the Spirit allows us to see. But in that seeing, and in that revealing, and in that knowing, there is something else that happens when we begin to move with the Spirit of God. There's something else that happens when we step into the kingdom by way of being birthed of the Spirit of God. And it's not a move towards certainty. It's not a move towards understanding. It's not a move towards clarity and control. It's actually a move towards the opposite of those things. And so while he's saying here that having the Spirit of God in you and with you and being born of that Spirit allows you to understand what God is doing and to go there with him, I feel like it's important to say that as you go there with him and as you allow yourself to be led by God, actually, you can end up with less clarity, less predictability, less understanding. Are you all right with that? Because if you're not, it's just important that whether you are or you're not, it's important that you know. I think that's actually a byproduct of the very thing that he's talking about here. Because again, the Spirit of God, even though we become of the same kind and thus can move where he's moving, the Spirit of God is still ahead of us in this. The Spirit of God is still the one that leads. And by virtue of the Spirit of God leading, we don't have all the information ahead of time. And a lot of times we don't have it in the moment. I think that's really important, because if we did, we wouldn't need this thing called faith. If we did have it, we wouldn't need relationship. It would be something that's just programmed in us and we just function that way now. But if anything, it's a reminder that, in fact, we need that even more. Because now we're actually called into a life where we're responding to what God is doing. We're called into a life where that's the new norm. We're called into a life where that, in order for that response to happen, we have to first put ourselves in a place of listening and being attentive. And then even when we hear, and even when we think we understand, of obeying. Are you with me? So there's a lot of nuance to this. And I was thinking about this, and you know, the Spirit of God will oftentimes still feel like the wind that you don't understand. Are you guys with me? That's really important. I think as we come into an understanding of the mystery of God being revealed, which is what we're told this gospel is. It's the mystery of God that was hidden through the ages has now been revealed. But as we come into that mystery, and as we come into life in the kingdom, we find there's more and more and more to that mystery. And if that's not what we're finding, I would suggest that we're not actually finding God. Because when we do, sometimes it's confusing. But even when it's joyful and exciting and good, it's it's just, there's more and more and more. And so even though we have the ability to move with the Spirit, to function like the Spirit of God, to go where He's going, it's still confusing where He's going. And in fact, when we compare it to our old life, when we compare it to being perhaps naive and unaware of the degree to which we didn't know, the degree to which we weren't in control, as much as we maybe thought we were and tried to be, when we compare it to that, life in the Spirit is actually full of uncertainty and unpredictability and scary moments. And I was sort of thinking, when does that stop? And I actually don't think it does. I don't think it does. And so that's really important. I don't think it stops until we don't need faith anymore. That's when it stops. When we're with Him in glory, and everything that He intended is fully as it's supposed to be, then that may stop. But until then, we're going to find ourselves in the middle of that. And if certainty is what we need, then we're going to find ourselves frustrated. We're going to find ourselves confused. We're going to find ourselves scared. We're going to find ourselves drawing back. We're going to find ourselves bargaining with God that, God, if you will make this clear, then I'll go. But going with the Spirit means being led into uncertainty. Means being led into confusion. It means being led into what you don't get to know yet, because God in His goodness hasn't let you know. And as David said a little bit earlier as he closed with that prayer, I think one way to look at that, when we understand that God is good, one way to look at that is as adventure. Maybe some of us don't like adventure as much as some others do, but for sure, life in the kingdom is meant to be an adventure. There is scary unpredictability, but there's exciting unpredictability. And when you understand that God is good and he wants you to discover both who He is and what He's doing, then maybe it's a little bit easier to embrace that unknown. I just feel like it's important for us to talk about those mechanics a little bit. Because this is what it means to be led by the Spirit, to go with the Spirit. Again, just because we're of the same kind doesn't mean that we now are doing it without questions. So. All right. That was part one. I want to read a few other things. And before I do, I just want to say, I think, in fact, it's the very reason that we have the presence of God with us. He is leading us into understanding. It's just that a lot of times the understanding comes after we move. Let me say that again. He is leading us into understanding. It's just that a lot of times the understanding comes after we move. It comes after we believe. It comes after we follow. A lot of times the way He leads us is by saying, go. Where are we going, God? Come on, find out. Why don't you tell me now? Why don't you tell me right here from the comfort of this seat? Okay, I'm going. Are you coming? That's what it's like driving my son around town these days. He really thinks he knows where we're going. And when I take a turn that's not the one he expected, he's like, "Dad, why are we going this way?" I'm like, "Because this is the way we're supposed to go right now." And he's like, "No, it's not." Yes, it is. But I thought we were going there. You know, there's actually 10 ways to get there. I have had that conversation a few times with my son. He'll even tell me on the 2-block route to his school, "You're not going the way that mommy goes." Yes, I'm fully aware. You told me that yesterday when I drove you to school. Why aren't you going that way? Now, probably your way's better. Mine does have some speed bumps, but the parking is better, the route that I go, so that's why I go my way. Anyway, I want to read a few other passages, and in the Gospel of John, Jesus, fast forward a little bit, let's go to John 14, and I just want us to hear the words that he speaks of the Holy Spirit in these few chapters. So I'm going to read a few of these in succession, and then we'll reflect on them. So just listen to what he says. You can follow along if that helps you, or just hear it. John 14, starting verse 16. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Some translations say, helper, to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Just a little bit after that, in verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Fast forward to John 15. Again, speaks of the Holy Spirit in verse 26. He says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Chapter 16, verse 12, says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." more of what we're talking about. Jesus reiterates again and again and again that he's sending a helper. And that the Holy Spirit is coming by way of the Father. And he's coming with the words of Jesus. He's coming with a revelation of Jesus. Why do you think Jesus said this? Basically the same thing again and again and again. He says it at least three times. When you think about the moment that his disciples were in, a lot of unknown, right? A lot of unknown. Jesus is leaving. The one that they could just run back to. The one that they could rely on to speak. The one that they could rely on to comfort. The one that they could rely on to confuse them as well. To give them a sermon when they just wanted to talk about lunch. That Jesus. And he says that the Holy Spirit is going to be the one in the future that is going to do those same things. Those same things that Jesus did when he was with them. The same things that he did over the course of those 3 years that they had together. The things that only those 12 got to see and hear and experience. Those moments of teaching that happened after he spoke to the crowds. When they were finally at home, and they still had the perplexed look on their face. And thankfully, because they got to go back with Jesus, they got to ask him, Jesus, what did you mean by that? Because I know we're supposed to pretend like we knew what you were saying out there, because we're like, you know, we've been doing this for a while, but we didn't get what you were saying any more than the people out there. He says, I'm going, and the Holy Spirit is going to take my place. He's going to do those things with you now. He's going to be the one that you can go to. He's going to be the one that sometimes creates that in your life. What's amazing is, and this is why Jesus said, it's better that I go. What's amazing is those words weren't just for the 12. When he said, I'm sending my spirit, those words became for us as well. And if we think about, just for a minute, how amazing it would have been to sit at the feet of Jesus, realize we get that. We get that through the Holy Spirit. And so I think there's something important there for us, even in what Jesus is saying here, that we're realizing that the Holy Spirit isn't just this presence that does something and we feel something and we leave and we don't know what it means, but it's good. The Holy Spirit wants to speak intimately into your life about Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to help you in deep ways. The Holy Spirit, by virtue of getting to know him, wants you to know Jesus and the Father to a degree that you couldn't know that. And he loves to do that. And the Holy Spirit wants to be there with you and to comfort you while you're waiting for Him to speak. While you're waiting for the understanding. While you're waiting for the answers. In the middle of the fear that even comes when you believe. Or the regret that comes after you moved with God. And things didn't go the way you thought they would. He's not just a helper, He's the comfort. Let's read a couple more real quick. Let's jump over to Luke. You know, Jesus, He gives this picture of the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. The intimacy of the Spirit's role and work in our lives. And I think that was specifically what they needed to hear as Jesus was leaving. I'm going, and the intimacy you had with me, you can still have. It's going to come in the form of my presence with you. And the things that I said to you that meant something, but you forgot to write them down, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you. It's beautiful. But there's more to it than that. And listen to what Jesus says, because it's almost like He's speaking of an entirely different person when He speaks about the same Holy Spirit post-resurrection. Because He came back. And He visited with them. He appeared to them. And He spoke some more things. But the Spirit had not come yet. And so Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit's coming in Luke 24, He says this. In verse 49. I'm going to get the door. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And let's read one more in Acts 2, which is the second letter that Luke wrote. So it actually picks up where Luke's gospel ends. And of this same time of Jesus being there, similarly, Acts 1 records in verse 4. I don't think I did. Yeah, I did give you verse 4. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, look what they asked Jesus. And listen to it in light of what we're talking about. They gathered around Him and they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And I bet they thought that was a really great question to ask Jesus. What does Jesus say to them? It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. It sounds a little bit like what He said before. I have things I want to tell you, but you're not ready yet. I would suggest, because of the role that the Holy Spirit uniquely wants to play in our lives, and is, in fact, the only one capable of playing that role in our lives, the role of speaking clearly to us so that we can go where He's going, when we don't hear from Him, it might be Because we're not ready. It might be His grace. It might be Him telling us you don't need to know the thing that you're asking about right now as much as you think you need to know. Don't let that disconnect you from Him. What I'm saying is, it isn't, God, where are you? Why aren't you here? Because He's there. Right? That's what He told the disciples. I'm not leaving you. I will not leave you as orphans. So when you don't hear, don't think He's not there anymore. God, where are you? If you hear silence, maybe it's because it's not the time to hear what you think you need to hear. But listen to what He says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is helper. The Holy Spirit is comforter. But He's not just a friendly assist for our lives. He's not just there to say, you got that? Okay, are you sure? Okay, cool. Have a good day. The Holy Spirit is meant to be and is the power of God in our lives. The power of God for our lives. And He wants to be that. He wants to be that for you. He wants to be the power of God for your Mondays. He wants to be the power of God for your relationships with people, especially the ones that aren't going so well, the ones that you want to give up on. He wants to be the power of God for the things that you heard that the gospel can take care of. But it doesn't seem like they are. It doesn't seem like it's happening. He wants to be the power of God for those things in your life. You guys with me? Anybody need that? Anybody want that? Who wants that? And so let's not just, because of His closeness and His nearness, let us not forget that He's not just a friend, although He is. He's not just a help, although He is. It's the power of God. The same Spirit that actually got Christ out of the tomb. It's that power. And it's easy to forget, especially when we don't feel like we're walking in that truth. I talked about this before, and I think it's worth coming back to, just this question of, do we really want that? Do we really want the power of God manifested in our lives in a way that actually changes? Or do we want some lesser version, a version where God gives some suggestions and some helpful tips, but we're not seeing breakthrough? A version that we could probably do on our own. I think that's an important question for us to ask and to answer honestly with God. Because if the answer is something less than yes, we want the power of God in a way we don't have it, then it'll probably keep being the same for us. I hope this isn't down hope you're encouraged. I feel like one of the things that God is doing right now is stirring up desire. Stirring up desire for a relationship to be the way that He said it could be. And if you're feeling that, I wanna pray into that. And I wanna pray that God would help us to know what to do with that. What is our part? And what is His part? And Jesus said, your part in this isn't to know everything. Your part is to wait. Wait for me to move. And all the people said, yay! Right? Right? When God says, wait, we say, yay. Or something else. Not nearly as happy. Let's close our eyes. And I feel like for some of you, that's it right now. You're in the waiting part of being led. That is hard. It's hard to stay where God says to be in those moments. It's hard to continue to wait and yet still be attentive and responsive as you're waiting, because it's an active waiting. It's not, you don't put your relationship with God on hold while you're waiting for Him. And He hasn't put His relationship with you on hold while you're waiting. But fear and anxiety can halt us. Or it can make us want to rush ahead. God, I just pray wherever you have us, whatever you want to do, God, that we would experience the understanding that you want to bring, the understanding that comes from your voice of knowing what you want from us, of knowing where you want us to be, of knowing what obedience looks like, because how could we be obedient if we didn't know what you were asking of us? And God, I thank you that as your children, we get to know what you're asking of us. And when you give us things that we want to know, and you give us clarity and breakthrough, God, we want to praise you for that. But as we're waiting, and as you tell us, perhaps through the silence or through specific words, that's not what we need to be worried about. That's not what the answer we actually need. God, would you help us to have peace and to remain and to wait on you? To even just come back to the simplicity of connecting with you. Resting in you. Dwelling in you as you dwell in us. God, I just pray increase of intimacy, increase of the ability to hear, increase of sensitivity to your presence in our midst, increase of sensitivity to what you want to do, not only in us, but through us, God. Where you want to lead us as it relates to the world around us, as it relates to even the family of God, as it relates to the people that you put in our lives. Okay. Holy Spirit, we need your power. God, we know when we move, because things happen that could. On our best day and our max effort, we make things happen that could. God, I don't know what those things are in the room tonight, but you do, and I just pray that God, we would lean into you in a way that we're desperate. Take communion.